thing he can do is put everything he has into each and every day. And, you know, I think it would be premature to put a lid on it. Who says he can't come back and be, you know, great again? You know, I think he can.
And, sure.
Yeah, and he's just got to keep being shown. You know, he's already shown times where he's, you know, he's been great.
That's Coach Thibs.
Just yesterday.
Thibodeau.
Wow.
Not Thibodeau. Thibodeau. That was him talking about Derek being great.
Yeah, that's just 24 hours ago, and you get a sense that this, talking to people around, the Bulls were in a sense state of disbelief with the rest of us.
Did you see KC's tweet? That people around the organization not convinced it happened in the Milwaukee game, that it could have been before that.
Right, right. So, and I think that's very wise to be cautious in assuming anything. And that's why the information that you're starting to see is that they don't really have a good sense of when that would have happened. If it is that unclear, then it was going to happen eventually anyway.
So that's interesting. I asked Rose before if this scheduled in the All-Star break, he didn't practice at all. He was on the beach or wherever he was. Was that scheduled? And he kind of had this weird reaction to it. It's like, it was kind of scheduled. So who knows when he got hurt?
All right, let's go to the phones. Will Perdue joins us now, does great work at CSN, former Bull, multiple-time champ. Will, good morning. A sad morning in Chicago sports with Patrick Kane going down for up to 3 months and Derrick Rose. We don't know when he'll be back. What's your take on this, how it affects the team moving forward?
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you, don't drink the water in Chicago. Something's going on here.
Jeez. Brutal.
But, well, you think about the sequence of events here. I mean, the Bulls losing to Detroit. The Blackhawks losing to Boston. The sky is falling. Then you think things have improved a little bit, and then all of a sudden the bottom falls out. So, you know, it was kind of interesting. Last night, I get a text message from Kevin Anderson, our producer, kind of runs things at
the Bulldog, Sportsnet,
as you know. And
the Bulldog.
Yeah, he says, urgent, are you around? And I'm like, what? Did somebody get sick or something? I need to come into the studio? And then all of a sudden, about that same time, I got that email from the Bulls saying Derek had re-injured his knee, was going to have surgery, timetable for his return would be determined at that point. You're just like, did somebody hack into the Bulls' email? Is this a joke? And then it kind of set in, and I was just, it was really hard to fathom because of the fact of just the amount of time that Derek's put in for his rehabilitation and the commitment that he's made, you know, to himself and to this team to try to get back. And, you know, that comment you guys played from Thibodeau just 24 hours ago about, you know, he has shown moments where he has, you know, Thibodeau says, great, I'll say he's been really, really good. And that's why you had that thought that, hey, if this team can figure out this whole thing and get their defense down and the way that Derek's shown that he can play, when they get to the playoffs, I mean, this team could beat anybody. But now all of a sudden that's just, it's like somebody pulled the carpet out from under you and now you're sitting on the ground rubbing your head going, what happened?
So, Will, nobody can project what Derek Rose might be thinking right now. But from an ex-player's perspective, if you were, you know, if you were him, right, are you thinking about doing everything you can to get back this year? Or are you thinking about doing whatever you can to make sure that you're taking care of yourself for the long term? And are they different? Are they different scenarios?
I think there's numerous scenarios, quite honestly. you know, first of all, I don't understand how Derek can, for the third time, digest this information and make a really sound decision without some help. Because, you know, the ACL, okay, you know, the next one comes along, different knee. Now you're going back to, it's the third time, it's on the same knee, it's the same injury. He's got to be asking himself, you know, what the hell do I got to do here? You know, so you got to wonder about, okay, I really need some help here. I need to lean on my doctors. I need to lean on my family. I need to lean on, you know, making a really educated decision. You know, already with the speculation, you know, last night I got back and I was perusing the TV and, you know, you got this one doctor saying, well, in these type of injuries, if, you know, because there's already sutures in there, you should be able to go in there and just clip it and he could be back as early as 6 weeks, which means he could be in the playoffs. And then they got another doctor on and says, well, hold on a minute. You know, it could be something as long as 3 to 6 months. And so I'm just like scratching my head going, well, how the, if I can't figure it out and I'm on the outside looking in, how the hell is he going to figure it out, you know, as far as being able to make that decision? I think at the end of the day, David, you got to do what's best for yourself first and foremost, but at the same time, try to do what's best for the team and weigh all your options, because there's going to be consequences regardless of what side of the fence you play.
We're talking to Will Perdue here from Comcast Sportsnet, former Bull, about the injury to Derrick Rose, and you're watching Cap'n Hall on CSN. Will, when you look at what's out there in the scrap heap, you know, the trade deadline was a week ago, and to get a guy like Goran Dragic was huge price, two number ones and more. Nate Robinson came out this morning and said, I'd like a reunion with the Bulls. Would you bring a guy like that in, or is he too out of control, knowing that Derrick, this is not an ACL, he's not gone for a year?
Well, unfortunately, Cap, and I mean, no disrespect to him, but he's just, he's probably the type of guy that you're looking for. You know, it's not going to cost the team very much money in the big picture. You know, you obviously need somebody to fill that roster spot. And when I say fill that roster spot, I mean somebody that maybe you can find and get lucky that can be productive. The problem is, you know, we can talk about this all we want. I don't think anybody questions the fact that Nate can score. All right? Hypothetically, just say Nate's the guy. But as we all know, once we get to the playoffs, the Bulls, you know, Nate will be exposed on the defensive end of the floor. And surprisingly, that's where the Bulls have really struggled this year. Because, you know, of his lack of size, you know, start thinking of the teams that they're going to have to play in the playoffs. You know, maybe Washington, you know, with John Wall and Beal. And then you start talking about, you know, what's going on with Atlanta and Teague and Korver and these guys. So you start thinking about the matchups. But at the end of the day, you're like, well, who out there, you use the term scrap heap, who out there can you pick off that scrap heap that's really going to make a significant impact and really have a difference in how far you go in the playoffs? Probably nobody. You can probably find a guy that's going to help you, but to what extent? Probably not much.
Impossible question to answer, Will, but when you project, say Derrick Rose, it is a 6 to 8 week injury and he comes back in the, you know, in the playoffs, in the postseason, what kind of player would you expect? I mean, from his mentality, from his mindset, we know what he's like. He said the other day, after 5 days away from basketball, you have to expect things to be rusty. We're talking about more than 5 weeks away from competitive NBA level competition. So is there any reasonable, as much as we're going to fixate on the time frame and his return, do we really know what kind of player is going to return if he is back this year?
I think we don't, and that's the problem. I mean, if what we saw, okay, let's just use this small sample for our example here. If he's gone for 5 days and he comes back and he shoots 1 for 13 and he struggles with his timing, you know, now, that being said, I thought he actually had played well at times against Phoenix. You know, he struggled against Detroit, struggled against Milwaukee. So if that's what 5 days without basketball does, what's 5 weeks going to do? Like I say, using this small sample size, I mean, his shot's probably going to be off. His timing's going to be off. He's probably going to be very hesitant, you know, when he does play, because, you know, as much as he's going to say, you know, it feels 100%. I've been on the treadmill. I've been cutting. I've done all my necessary work. I'm 100% confident that my knee is going to hold up. How can you honestly say that and then get out on the floor and not have reservations about exactly what's going to happen if you look to attack the basket and make a hard cut and change directions and you know, look to initiate contact, try to get to the free throw line? I'm not saying he can't do it, but golly, I mean, mentally, it's just, you got to wonder, you know, how's Derrick going to hold up? Because it's just, it seems like it's one thing after another. And just like it's when he seems like he's gotten back to that point where he's reliable and he's played a bunch of games and everything's good and going in the right direction, something like this happens.
We're talking to Will Perdue here on Cap'n Hall. Will, there have been some narrative on Twitter from not necessarily NBA people, just fans saying, look, he shoots 1 for 13. He doesn't look like the same guy. So perhaps the Bulls will be a more cohesive unit going forward. Do you buy into any of that?
Well, I don't know if they're going to be more cohesive, but listen, you're talking about now they've lost a guy who can create his own shot at any time. Now, I'm not saying all those shots are quality shots, but Cap, you and I have talked about it. His ability, where he got back to, you know, exploding towards the basket, getting from one end of the floor to the other, that's a vital component of what they were doing. So now, I don't necessarily think that they're going to be more cohesive, but they really have to now trust their offense. They really have to, in my opinion, now push the ball more so than in the past, because when you lose a guy that can create his own shot like Derek can, you can't, in my opinion, walk it up the floor and then expect to get a good quality shot every time down the floor if teams are going to now start locking in on Jimmy Butler. Who's the one guy now that's left that can really create his own shot? That's Jimmy Butler. So all of a sudden, teams are going to really focus on him. So that means you've got to really focus on running your offense the way it's supposed to be run. Crisp passes, changing the ball from one side of the floor to the other. Don't throw it in the post and stand. I mean, it's got to become a five-person offense of constant ball movement, constant player movement, because without a Derrick Rose. Now, Aaron Brooks can do that occasionally, but as you and I both know, he's a volume guy, not necessarily a quality guy, but a volume guy. You know, they're going to rely heavily on their offense, and they better wake up and say, okay, because of this now, we better come together defensively or we're going to struggle.
Appreciate you taking time. I'll see you over at the office. Unbelievable.
Thanks, Will.
This all hits in the same night with
good
both
stuff.
These guys.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks. See you. There he is, Will Perdue. Appreciate his time.
Yeah.
312-235-2525.
Interesting perspective, you know, because the time frame for Derrick Rose isn't maybe as long as before, you still don't know what he's going to be like when he comes back. And I think Will reinforced that idea. What player are you going to get when he comes back in April?
Right.
If it is April. And what role will his handlers have in determining whether or not he comes back in April or not? Because that's the other thing to factor in. No matter what we think.
But last time he blew out the ACL, correct me if you disagree with this. He blows out the ACL. They're very cautious with him because he's the reigning MVP.
Yeah.
That's what everyone's expecting.
Sure.
His image has taken quite a beating since then.
In whose mind?
Just general perception.
Well, general perception is different than the perception of the people that are managing Derrick Rose's career.
But if
career.
They're in touch with what his image is...
Well, that's a big if, Cap. That's a big if. Because I don't think that...
At some point they go, look, we just need to get you back out
there. There's been a
tone-deaf
element in the past that makes you wonder if they're reading the same tea leaves we're reading.
All right, got to take time out. We'll come back, 312-235-2525. You writing tomorrow?
I am.
All right, should be interesting stuff. We'll be right back.
This is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
It's so tough, man, for a guy like that. That plays so hard to have to go through it again and again and again, man. It's just tough, man. I'm going to just pray for him. I'm going to hit him up, you know, as soon as I get off of here with y'all, man, and just try to keep his spirits high. But it's tough for a guy like that, man, and I just feel bad for him.
Russell Westbrook, who's one of Derek's close friends in the NBA. They work out together, one of his closest friends, and that was him after the game last night. 312-235-2525. He's David Haw. Man resplendent in a green shirt today. I'm David Kaplan. Mark Carmen will have an update for us in about 6 or 7 minutes.
And
NFC
Westbrook
North.
Westbrook can relate to coming back from this procedure.
He's had three of them.
But I do think it's different.
He doesn't have an ACL in his history.
Because the first knee surgery really affected Derrick Rose in ways we can't really relate to. Changed him.
Also, at NFC North Barroom says, Cap and Haw, can you guys please talk about something more positive like ISIS, Ebola, or the apocalypse? This is an awful
morning.
Let's
not get that carried away.
So, 312-235-2525.
As I wrote last night or this morning, and Rahm Emanuel thought he had a bad day. You know, that's nothing compared to the typical Chicago sports fans feeling last night.
About
9:45.
Yeah, I was following that on my phone when all the other news. My brother called me. Dude, Rose is having surgery. What? I was checking to see how Chewy was doing in the race.
Well, it was definitely a surprise, not only to observers, media members, but I think to some people in the Bulls organization. I don't think Tom Thibodeau would have sounded so confident that Derrick Rose would return to greatness yesterday at practice had he envisioned that this was even a possibility.
Right.
I think this stunned everybody.
It's a great point.
He also said he was going to play tomorrow or play tonight now. Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow. He said a little soreness.
Yeah. I don't think that anyone anticipated this kind of setback. And that's what it is. How severe? Nobody can predict. There's going to be all sorts of doomsday projections. As Casey Johnson points out on Twitter, though, this procedure, everybody's different, and everybody's personal injury history is different. But Doug McDermott walked out of the office without crutches after having this procedure done on him, I think, in December. So this can be something that players return from in a reasonable amount of time.
Derek's support system, his brother and BJ and everybody.
It's complicated.
They
have layers.
Always not only erred on the side of caution, they've gone to the extreme.
Well, when a player Derrick Rose's age talks about preserving his body for his young son who is 2, high school graduation, yeah, that qualifies as extreme caution, Cap. So there will be an extremely cautious approach to this rehab. That will create some tension, I would imagine. The degree to which we can't really predict, but I do think it's not going to be your ordinary rehab.
Now,
never has been.
Dan Hampton had the same procedure, I believe.
Yeah, well, did he play the next Sunday?
10 days later.
Yeah, I figured that.
I was going to say, did
he had it like on a Monday, missed that Sunday. They may have been on the bye, and the following Sunday he played.
Yeah, this in hockey, this would be a lower body injury.
It was 12 days.
You'd miss the homestand, perhaps. I get it. And to compare athletes, and everybody's different. Everybody's personal history, everybody's medical history is unique. And I think we do have to respect that to a point. What was frustrating the first time around, Cap, was that there were so many layers to this, and Adidas was involved, and you wondered if they were monetizing his rehab, and you wondered to what the self-interest were being served here.
Well, Adidas has got to sit in their boardroom and go, we're paying how much for this guy? $185 million?
And how many emails have I already gotten since last night about the shoes? You know, this is caused by the shoes and the product and everything. I don't know what causes it. It could be genetics. It could be terrible luck. Who knows? Who knows? I don't think it's additional minutes after they had been leading the Bucks by 18 and he re-entered the game. Sorry, Carm.
Should have been in the game when he blew his ACL.
I don't think it's because they pushed Derrick Rose to practice drills he wasn't supposed to practice in. I just think that this was going to happen at some point, at some time, to him.
Okay, let me throw a name out at you. Tell me if there's any comparison. Derrick Rose is Mark Pryor.
No. Derrick Rose has accomplished more than Mark Pryor did before.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, did I miss the Mark Pryor Cy Young press conference in 2003 or 2004?
Okay, he finished second in the Cy Young.
Did I miss it? Did I miss the
Cubs?
Pitched
him within 5 outs of the World Series.
Derrick Rose is more accomplished than Mark Pryor in their respective careers. There's no doubt about that. None.
I'm not so sure about that.
312-235-2525. No doubt, Cub boy. Mark Pryor has not accomplished as much in baseball as Derrick Rose has in basketball. No.
Well, what are you judging that on? Trophies?
Doubt. You can
neither
compare
one won anything.
You can compare their cursed injury history. You can compare their injury-prone nature. But I don't think it's fair to compare what they accomplished in Chicago as athletes.
Mark Pryor was, let's see, pitching.
Derrick Rose was the youngest MVP in NBA history.
Rookie of the year, played in the National Championship game.
Rookie of the year.
Are you on Baseball Reference right now?
I am.
Of course. I'm talking.
Are you serious right now?
I'm talking, so of course he's on Baseball Reference or Twitter or, I don't know, grocery shopping.
18, making reservations.
18 and 6 with a 247.
I remember the year, Cap. It was a magical year. And then he went on to how many different towel drill Cy Young awards. He is the all-time – I'll give you this, Cap. He is Chicago's all-time leader in simulated game victories. Definitely. Mark Pryor is a 300-game winner in simulated games.
I did love the towel drill. I thought that was going to cure him.
I
was.
I can't believe you just. I mean, I understand the sort of bad luck comparison, but Derrick Rose more accomplished than that guy. I thought you were going to say Gale Sayers. I thought you were going to say a Hall of Fame talent whose career was cut short for injury, and I think that's the that is more what we're talking about. That's the realm of, you know, kind of unfortunate career turns that were that's more the
third
context.
Is Cy Young in 03.
Still on.
One all-star appearance. All right, Derrick Rose. Jesus. Might have.
Where's that Thibs drop? Jesus.
Our guy Masaki from the Comcast is watching now.
Yeah.
Pryor more accomplished than Rose. That's whack, bro.
Yeah. We're going to skip that swack, bro, this week. I just don't think it's appropriate with all the things. You know, Tuesday night, February 24th. 2015 in Chicago sports. That's whack, bro. We'll take
Dave Robb, 11:10. Dr. David Robb, Illinois Bone and Joint Institute at 11:10. Pat Boyle at 10:40.
Let's get to some of these calls after the break.
312-235-2525. Baseball reference. Great spot.
Tom, something happens to him. People act like it's the end of the world. And that's so lame to me. Relax, he's coming back from two crazy surgeries. Obviously, we're being conservative with him, and when things aren't going right, you know, he's got to listen to his body more than anybody. So everybody needs to chill the f*** out. I'm sorry for cursing, but I'm really passionate. You know, that's like, I don't like to see him like down, and he doesn't say that he's down, but I just don't like it when people portray him and judge him because it's not fair to him.
That's Joakim Noah talking about Derrick Rose.
I'm sure this is not the way that Joakim Noah wanted to celebrate his 30th birthday with this sort of bad news.
Sad news in Chicago as two of our brightest stars, Patrick Kane and Derrick Rose, both out for extended periods. Rose with a right knee injury that appears to be a meniscus tear, and Patrick Kane more serious. It looks to be a broken clavicle. No word yet from the Hawks, but Chris Cook reporting, and I heard it last night, this could be a 12-week injury.
Yeah, you think more serious, and I think that's probably not something people would dispute. And yet, if you had to rank your level of confidence or state your level of confidence in which player you expect to see back in action this season, who would you expect to have a more likelihood of returning?
Derrick Rose.
Then Kane?
Yep.
Why do you say that?
Because it's not as serious an injury.
But you're dealing with somebody that doesn't have a history of being a quick healer.
Then both might be done.
Yeah, I don't know about Kane yet. I think that, you know, we're assuming the worst because we haven't heard much, and certainly 12 weeks is putting you way off. I think they can win a first-round playoff series without him. I think the deeper you go in the playoffs, the less certain you feel. It depends on what they do before the trade deadline as well. They will buy themselves perhaps $5.5 million of cap relief if they put him on long-term injured
reserve. Yeah, prorated over 6 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
So they'll get some relief that way, and they can go out and maybe get somebody who's a rental who can help them, you know, offensively.
But it has to be someone on an expiring deal because you do not have the flexibility next year to have Phil Kessel's money here for 5 years.
It limits your options, makes it very hard to put a list together of potential targets for Stan Bowman. But I think we can rest assured that in addition to figuring out the medical information that they're gathering this morning on Patrick Kane's injury, they're also figuring out who's available and what deals are there to be made because they've got to do something.
They've got to do something. By the way, any comparison? Okay, we threw Mark Pryor to the side very quickly. What about Penny Hardaway?
Penny Hardaway is similar. I mean, I think you could draw some parallels there.
Four-time All-Star.
Yeah.
third pick overall in the draft. Finished, did not win an MVP. Was right there in the voting.
All right.
Two-time All-NBA first team, All-NBA third team, All-Rookie first team, Rookie Challenge MVP, consensus first team All-American, two-time conference player of the year. I mean,
Little Penny was great, too.
Little Penny was the greatest.
But I think that Cap, I'm not dismissing that comparison. It just feels like we've had this conversation before. It just feels like we've looked at Derrick Rose in the context of Penny Hardaway's, you know, disappointments. We've looked at Derrick Rose compared to Grant Hill and what his career should have been if not for the, you know, the injury bug. We've done this. The sense of deja vu is there for people that have followed this story. It doesn't seem like that long ago. We were responding to a Friday night in Portland. And then a Saturday afternoon at the United Center.
I remember you and I playing Little Penny audio. Remember Little Penny commercials when he got hurt?
Yeah, that was...
Or was that you and me, Mark?
That wasn't me.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I think that might have been all the way back in Waddle days.
No. When he got hurt against Portland.
That was in 2013.
Oh, for Little Penny with Rose. I get you.
That was November 2013. I remember that.
So that would be me and Carmen.
November 10th,
that would have been
maybe.
Carmen and I at night. 312-235-2525. Arthur on the west side of the city. Arthur, what's going on there, bud?
Hey, Arthur.
How you guys doing? I enjoy y'all show.
Thank you
very much.
Listen, I'm a diehard Bulls fan. I feel really bad for Derrick Rose. But since we had Nate Robinson before, do you think that will hurt him? They probably can go even further than before. What do you think?
Different team, Arthur. I think it's a fair question.
Nate's also a guy who's off an ACL injury as well.
Yeah, but he's out there, and he's definitely going to give you offense. He's definitely going to give you a swagger that you might need now in the wake of this. There's going to be a psychological deflation in the locker room tonight. I think you're going to see a team. I'd be very curious to see how the Bulls play tonight.
Please.
Because I don't know what effect this will have. You remember what happened to them the last time that Derrick Rose went down. It rattled them. It rattled this team. In November of 2013, they weren't the same team for a while.
Well, do you remember when he tore the ACL and they had him come out the next game and throw out the ceremonial tip, Derek? Don't do that.
They're not going to do that.
No.
They learned from that mistake.
And,
but again, you go back to that series, if you want to go two injuries ago, that team was shaken against the Sixers and lost that series. So tonight, you know, the one thing the Bulls are weathered, they've weathered this storm before. It does feel like a sense of deja vu. They're tired of talking about Derrick Rose's health issues. They want to move on, I'm sure. Is Nate Robinson part of that equation? Doesn't have to be. This is not a team that's offensively challenged. This is a team that needs to stop people. And if they get back to that identity of being the try-hard Bulls that Tom Thibodeau is used to coaching, that persevered through the injuries to Derrick Rose and Luol Deng in the playoffs when Nate Robinson was here the first time, that we'll recognize that and they'll be okay. And they might even win a first-round series. They could. I think the Bulls could win a first-round series without Derrick Rose. I don't think they go further than that.
Depends who they match up against, but they could certainly beat the Bucks without him. That's what
they'll
be right now.
There's exactly. No doubt.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 312-235-2525. Tony is in Joliet. Hi, Tony. What's going on there,
What's
Sparkles?
Up, Tony?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. What's going on?
I just wanted to say feel bad about Derrick Rose, you know, Patrick Kane. Kind of a shock. I was wondering, I've got a question to ask you guys. Do you think Chicago is cursed for injuries?
No, Tony,
no.
I don't. I can understand the question. Thanks very much for making the phone call.
I mean, Michael Jordan had one injury, a foot injury, and never ever had a problem again. I mean, there's been a bunch of guys.
Other
great
cities
athletes.
Go through this, but when it happens within 2 hours of each other, I could understand the question, Cap. I mean, I wrote it. This is very Chicago-ish.
You believe that Derrick Rose has played his final game for Tom Thibodeau?
I think that, you know, look, in the morning after an injury like this, we all get a little bit dramatic,
that's dramatic. I think that's legit.
Well, no, it's a legitimate question to ask, but I think it's over dramatic to state it unequivocally. I think to say that Derrick Rose has played his last game for Tom Thibodeau,
right?
Because the Thibodeau era is over.
Yeah, I'm just asking what you think.
Yeah, I think that it's possible. I think that you to say it now definitively is misleading and inaccurate. Could they work it out? Sure. Derrick Rose could come back this season, though. And if it is a six-week injury, then absolutely he's going to play another game for Tom Thibodeau. I think there's a lot of information that we need yet to gather before we make any hard and fast conclusions like that. All this right. didn't help matters. And, you know, this doesn't make necessarily the relationship – doesn't change anything about the relationship.
All right. We got to take a quick time out. We'll come back, talk to Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet. That's next on Cap and Haw.
The Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Threw it around. Patrick
Oh,
bad. Oh, what a play from behind. Terrible move by Petrovic. An awkward fall to the boards by the NHL's leading point producer. Fortunately, starting to scrape himself up off the ice. But that was a bad fall and a bad play by Petrovic. And you can see some discomfort upstairs for 88. That is not looking good.
Thank you, Comcast Sportsnet, Pat Foley, and Eddie Olczyk last night when Patrick Kane was cross-checked, hit the boards, and now looks to be out anywhere between 6 and 12 weeks. Just brutal, brutal. Pat Boyle joins us now, handles all the Blackhawks pre-, post-, between-period programming on CSN. Patrick, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Pat.
Morning, guys. Doing a little better this morning than I was last night. That was a rough one.
Well, that was absolutely brutal. So where, in your opinion, do the Hawks go from here? They will get salary cap relief if he's placed on long-term injury reserve, which it looks like he will. Do you think they go out and add a guy like Antoine Vermette? They add offense, defense, or both?
All right. Here's the thing. I'm the optimist, right, Cap? You know me. I sit across from you in that newsroom. I'm a glasses half full kind of guy. Yeah, right. But no, I am. I'm here to tell you, there is some silver lining to this whole thing. It all comes down to the timeline with Patrick Kane. If it is 7 to 10, I think, you know, this could be honestly a blessing in disguise, because you'll put him on long term disability or long-term IR, you'll have his $6.3 million to play with. You bring up Teuvo Teravainen, and he takes a million of that. That gives Stan about $5 million to play with. So we talked last week or yesterday, what are they going to do? Let's go out and get that defenseman. Now I think you can get both. You can go out there and get a Sequeira or a Jeff Petrie, a defenseman that's in that $2 to $3 million range, strengthen up your back six. You could bring in a center like Antoine Vermette making 3.75, and boys, you could have this thing ready to roll. There's no question this team can dock the boat without Patrick Kane and get to the playoffs. Not worried about that at all. But 7 weeks from today, the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. If he's not ready till, say, you know, the 8th week or 9th week, that means that's now second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But the big thing is there's no cap situation in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So the guys that you add, like, say, Antoine Vermette or Sequeira or Petrie on the back end, you'll have that money, and then you'll be ready to go. You'll get Patrick Kane back in the lineup, and you don't have to worry about the cap relief. So this could be a blessing in disguise. Stan Bowman really can make some maneuvering right now. And, you know, as dark and as grim and dismal as it looked last night, and let's be honest, this is not a good situation at all. But this, honestly, if he can come back, this may work out really, really well for the Hawks.
Boy, Pat, I love your
optimism.
I applaud your creativity. I am not with you. I think it sounds a little bit like a rationalization, but I do think that you make some good points about their flexibility that increases now with the moves that they have to make. I guess I wonder specifically about the Patrick Sharp dilemma, and if he was a guy that was being, you know, shopped before this. In your mind, does this change the mentality or mindset in dealing him? Because I don't think that you can afford to get rid of somebody who has his experience, even though he's not had a good year. But going down the stretch, even in the postseason, you need offense, and I think you need to keep him now.
Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, he's a guy that you're going to look to. I mean, we saw last night the response against Petrovic after he rubbed Kane out. You know, it was Patrick Sharp who had one of the hits that he laid on him. So, yeah, I think Sharp's back on the table as far as back in the fold and not really in shopping mode right now. And, look, you know, Kane, he's a part of 38% of the Blackhawks' offense this year. He's either scored or assisted on 38% of their goals. That's insane. That's almost impossible to replace, and it is. You heard to a man in that room last night, they said, you can't replace him. Well, they needed a jolt. Everybody has to elevate their game. There's 21 games left. They didn't have him the last dozen last year, and they got in the playoffs, and then he was ready to go against St. Louis. It's all about this timeline. If you think you can get him back in 8 weeks, in 9 weeks, 7 weeks, somewhere in that area, that's a first-round situation, or it's the second round. And I think you can strengthen your team with the cap relief that you have now with his $6.3 million put aside, and then you get him back in the playoffs and you basically added $5 million to your team and your cap, you know, didn't have to take a hit on it.
Pat, when you look at the number one need they have today, and I know Patrick's out and they need some firepower, but do you still believe if they can only add one impact piece that it's got to be a defenseman?
Well, last night changed a lot. You know, I would still say they need a defenseman. And there's a guy out there like Mike Green who's in the final year of his deal who he's the power play quarterback for Washington. He's in the final year making $6 million. If you brought him in, say you decided, look, we'll roll the dice. We'll deal with Tavo. We'll bring him up, and we'll hope to get Patrick back in that first to second round window. You had a piece like a Mike Green on the back end. You've strengthened your power play. You've strengthened your defense. You now have a dynamite final pairing. I would still say defense is their biggest need, but with Kane out, you can't be blind to the offense that he brings to the table. And I honestly think you have to look at this as you're going to get him back and what would strengthen this team and really get him to the finish line and another cup. And to me, that is adding both pieces, adding a defenseman and adding either a big center or a big winger that will also help out Patrick Kane when he gets back.
Pat, with Derrick Rose and the Bulls, we look at the psychological impact not only of Rose's return, but how the effect it'll have on his teammates and how they'll play tonight and moving forward. With the Blackhawks, I wonder if there's any parallel there. I wonder what the impact will have, and maybe you anticipate. This is a team that's been through a lot. I think they've been through a lot. They lost their assistant equipment manager. They mourned the death of Steve Montador. That hit them hard. And now
beat writer.
They dealt with a lot of adversity emotionally, and this does not help matters. And I just wondered, what effect do you think this could have on a team that's already, you know, overcome a lot of things psychologically?
Well, David, you know, yesterday Cap, Eddie O, and Kevin Cross, our news director, we're all sitting in the office kind of talking about the woes of the Blackhawks. And, you know, was Eddie saying something like, this team needs a jolt. And I totally agree with him on that. Well, guess what? They've got their jolt. The guy that was the front runner to win the MVP in the NHL is not going to be in the fray for the rest of the season. It's time for this team to step up. They've been a resilient bunch throughout this, you know, since 2009. These guys have been through a lot of battles. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with how they respond. If they know that they are going to get him back and have a chance to get him back, I think you're going to see this team come together, unite, and get to the postseason and get 88 back in there and make a serious run at it. If the news is a little more like, you know what, guys, it's a long shot at best, I think you're going to see you know, not quite that type of finish to this season. So I do think they have the guys in that room that can withstand this type of thing. I mean, I think anything you need to know was the game they went out and played after Clint Reif, their assistant equipment manager, passed away. They found out on a Sunday morning as they got to the rink, they went out there and played one of their best games of the year. This team can get it done. When you compare it to the Bulls situation, I mean, there were a lot of questions about Derrick Rose. You were hoping he would come close, sniff all-star Derrick Rose, let alone MVP Derrick Rose. In Kane, yeah, absolutely lost an MVP. So I think they're two different things. But this team has the depth to get to the playoffs. And honestly, it's going to come down to Stan and how creative he can be with this extra money that he's going to be able to play with Kane's money, and add to a team and then hope to get 88 back in the playoffs.
Mike Green is 29. He was a late first round pick. You know him better than I do. How good is Mike Green? And is he a guy that you would say, you know what, that's a guy you might want to keep long term and get him signed to keep? Or nope, it's a rental, try to win and move on?
He's a rental. He's a final year of his deal. He's making $6 million. So you'd have to get creative there. What I like about him is he's a fifth defenseman, for sure. He's a power play quarterback, which they need. And right then and there, you've bolstered this team big time. You know, and you've got Trevor Van Riemsdyk on the horizon. I think it comes down to what they think they're going to get from TVR. If they think TVR is going to come back in a week or so and be the fifth or sixth defenseman that they need, and then they eventually get Keith and Seabrook back together, Chalmerson, Oduya together, and they use TVR and Roosevelt, that's one philosophy. Then you address offense. But if you are really questioning that situation, you really want to bolster the defense, you go out and get somebody like a Mike Green, who's also going to help your power play, and you roll the dice with the forwards you have and hope Tavo can keep the rig on the road until Kane gets back. I would like to see a bigger forward added to the mix. I think you can do both here.
Like Jager?
No, I don't know.
Too old?
No.
No, yeah.
A lot of people tweeting about the Hawks and Jager. But yeah, Antoine Vermette sounds like the guy, maybe.
I would love to see. I mean, Cap, I'd love to see a big center. He's making 3.75. I really think like a Vermette situation, and then add a Petrie or Sakara. I think you can do both here. Add a defenseman and a big center, and let's make a run here.
I got a trade for you. Brad Richards to the Rangers for Kevin Hayes.
Yeah, how about that? No.
Yeah, that doesn't get talked a lot about here in Chicago.
My goodness, that's one of the worst moves they've ever made.
Well, that's what it turned out to be, right? I mean, it wasn't exactly that deal. But, a lot of things behind the scenes that went into that equation. This is an opportunity for Stan to – This team was going to change dramatically next year, right? Sharp's going to be gone.
Yep.
At least one or two big pieces are going to be gone. This is kind of the last dance. Make a run at it. Let's do it. Let's take that money, go get two guys, and hope to God and pray that 88 comes back. And, as dismal as I thought things were last night, and I was like a lost soul walking around that arena last night, I'm feeling a little better knowing that you can add a piece and not have it kill you in the playoffs.
You're making it sound like the Hawks planned it, Pat. You're making it sound like
they
planned this. This is going to be all is going to be okay because they're going to get two players out of this.
I'm not Mr. Conspiracy Theory over here.
I know, I'm just kidding.
But you got to admit, right? Having that extra $5 million for a team that, you know, has had a hard time maneuvering guys from here to Rockford all season because they've constantly been up against the cap, this is uncharted waters for Stan and the Hawks. So we will see what he does. We have until Monday at 2:00 local time to make that decision. But guys, things changed dramatically last night. I think the Hawks are going to make some major moves here in the next few days.
Thanks, Pat.
Pat, appreciate the time, buddy.
Take care.
All right, boys. See you, Cap, later on this afternoon.
I'm out today. I'll see you tomorrow.
Another surgery, or is there anything that we need to know of?
No. Just high level college basketball.
Okay.
See you, buddy.
Have fun.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
There he is. That's our guy, Pat Boyle. We have a lot of fun at that office. 312-235-2525. We'll get back to some calls. Dr. Dave Robb will check in and tell us what we can expect on clavicles and knees. Be right back.